Okay, it is June 3rd, first Sabbath Eve of the month, which means tomorrow is Testimony Sabbath. And so it's Friday night. We're on page 310 of Sketches from the Life of Paul. And we're on a brand new chapter, Paul Before Nero. And so it's going to get intense. So I hope and pray that everybody's ready to hear this. Better yet, that I'm ready to share it if the Lord gives me an understanding and utterance. So, page 310, chapter 30, Paul before Nero. It says, when Paul was summoned to appear before the emperor for his trial, it was with the near prospect of certain death. The aggravated nature of the crime charged against him and the prevailing animosity towards the Christians left little ground for hope of a favorable issue. I just put an article on the site the other day. What was it? I can't remember the title of it, but it. Wait, maybe it's still. Maybe it was one that I was going to be putting on. Yeah, because I'm packing the update page all week, and so by the time it comes to Wednesday, I just put it on there. But this here. I couldn't believe this the other day. I actually put an article on the site. Well, I'm going to be putting it on next Wednesday about virtual babies in 50 years. And I just had a laugh out loud. I'll share that with Sister Jennifer. Just laughing out loud in regards to that because we're not going to be here in 50 years. So I'll let them guess. And, you know, the way they do things, they actually assume Christ ain't coming back. And that's what always amazed me even as a young man before I even knew him. Oh, here it is. Liberal prosecutor. Well, let me see if I can let me get the link for you. Okay, because this is about to. I got to edit the link to get in here. Okay, hold on. Copy. I don't know what else. I cleaned my mouse pad. I don't know what's going on with this little thing. All right, so let me just go in here and. There we go. Liberal. That's annoying. All right. Liberal prosecutors promise they'll ignore laws they don't like. And, of course, they're talking about the abortion thing. This is why it's such a big hot topic thing in politics. You know, this is something the government never should have gotten involved in. But in order to enforce the mark and have the foot in the door, they have to play these games. And this is why Rome, the Vatican keeps on acting like they're pro-life. When most of their hospitals abort babies. I got a page on the website all about it. So, let me see here. The thing here is, like I said, it's about abortion. But the way I'm looking at it here, and I didn't read the whole thing yet, but I was getting little points in there. It's as if this is true, if this is what they're planning to do, if they're really going to ignore laws. Because they have been caught doing that. A lot of district attorneys have lost their licenses, but it usually takes 20 or 30 years for all the back and forth, or anybody to actually try and do something to help a guy that's behind bars who didn't commit a crime because the DA decided, I need this for my career, so I'm going to ignore all these facts that will literally prove this guy's innocent. And so they, you know, they put it on the back burner. And they do that. That's on a regular basis, right? And I remember one time in a courtroom, and I was about to inform the judge of an illegal beating I received from four police officers. And yeah, he wouldn't allow it. He wouldn't allow me to share it in his courtroom. He says, they'll give me 30 days if I do. And so I was in there for another reason, obviously. But here's the thing. If this is true, just like we see in Nero's day, when Paul was before Nero, and because beforehand, Paul, you know, he had a pretty good entry into Rome. Everything was, you know, pretty good because they were, you know, a lot of them didn't know what was going on in regards to the Jews wanting him to get killed and stuff like that. And he had freedom to have friends come back and forth while he was incarcerated, if you call it that, because he's, you know, more or less living with a Roman soldier. And but now, no. They fabricated enough garbage against Christians because that is Satan's plan. You see, this is what everybody missed. They seem to think that it's just because they hate Christians that they're going to do this. No. Well, that is the major part of it, yeah, but we're not fighting against the flesh and blood. We're not fighting against those people. We're fighting against the demons that are in them, and they don't realize that they're being moved by demons, just like some babes in Christ don't realize right off that Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Heavenly Father caused those doors and the doors to open and close so that you would do this and do that to get you to a point you're at now walking with Christ. He moves his people in the same way Satan moves his. And so a lot of these people that are moved by Satan that hate Christians today are going to get even more hateful towards us in the coming days, especially when the fake Jesus gets on the planet and starts trying to make what we're saying bogus so as to try to shut us up, and then more hatred will be levied against us. And so what we see with Paul here is going to be a good lesson for all of us to listen in on, because we're going to go through the same thing. It's just prophesied, it's going to happen. And so it says, it was the practice. Okay, hold on. All right, and she says, it was the practice among the Greeks and Romans to allow an accused person an advocate to present his case in a court of justice and to plead in his behalf. And it's still like that today, but when you got a strange way of the way they rebuilt the system to where you got a DA, and then you got a defending attorney as well, and then you got corruption and everything else. But she goes on to say that by force of argument, by his impassioned eloquence, or by entreaties, prayers and tears, such an advocate, such an advocate would often secure a decision in favor of the prisoner, or failing in this, would mitigate the severity of his sentence. So either you were going to get off scot-free, or they're going to rip you to shreds. And it's just, look at what they did to Jesus. Why he had to flog him the way he did, like when Pilate sent him off to be, whipped. And I'm sure Pilate wasn't anywhere near the scene when it was going down. But while Jesus was being flogged, we know the demons especially entered into the Roman soldiers to generate as much violence against the body of Christ, the flesh. And again, Jesus doesn't do or allow anything without a reason. We're the body of Christ. And we're going to have exceptional violence against us, too, in the coming days, just like Christ did against him. But Christ didn't shout out. And neither did 500 million Christians that were killed by the Catholic Church, if you think about it. So the overwhelming majority of that violence against Christians is past tense. But we are looking towards a little time of trouble. As a matter of fact, it's already begun. 200,000 Christians are killed a year, and that's just from Muslims alone. But they're keeping it more or less hush-hush now. Back when it was really getting hot and heavy, it was all over the news, especially WorldNet Daily. And that also reminds me, too, of like when the kids were ending up missing back in the early 70s, late 60s, early 70s. I remember it was all over the news and stuff like that, and a child ends up missing, and it was on the news. And then after a while, it got to be happening. It was happening so often, they just stopped reporting on it. That's how the love of many is waxed cold. They reported on it because it got ratings. Somebody would watch that television news show. That's all they're doing it for. People seem to think that these companies are out there. Most of them do have an agenda, but it's, like on the left and all that. But a lot of people think that they're doing it to inform you. No, they're doing it to brainwash you. That's all it's really meant to do. And so even with Fox News, they appear to lean to the right. But watch what happens if Trump gets in office in 24. Or even before then, for that matter. So, because he's not the Christian most people think he is. He's there for a reason, too. Okay, he's allowed to be a billionaire just like all the other billionaires. You got to shake hands to be able to keep your money. I don't want to get into all that. So she goes on to say that, but no man ventured to act as Paul's counsel or advocate. No friend was at hand, even to preserve a record of the charges brought against him by his accusers or of the arguments which he urged in his own defense. Let me just see here where she went with that. Such an advocate would often secure a decision in favor of the prisoner, or failing in this would mitigate the severity of the sentence. Okay. And so some people, they just don't want to take the chance, because if they failed, it would be much worse for Paul. And plus, they don't want to step up and defend a Christian when the Christians are the problem. Okay? And in a corrupt society, just like today, it's now nowhere near today as bad as it was in Nero's day, but it's going to be. It's guaranteed. That's why you have a Jesuit pope. Or they have a Jesuit pope anyway, but the society has a Jesuit pope. And popes don't live long, especially when they're elected late. And anyway, going on. Among the Christians at Rome, there was not one who came forward to stand by him in that trying hour. That's something. It's going to be like a desert bowl when we step up, too. But if the Lord would have you go to jail, there's a reason for it. There's something he's going to have you say or do. You know, because the magistrates need to hear the truth. Well, we call them judges today. They need to hear the truth. The court clerk needs to hear it. The stenographer needs to hear it. The people in the jury, if you happen to be. I would think most of this would be like private bench trials when they're going to do this to Christians, but you might have a headliner, so you'll have to have a jury, but they need to hear what you have to say. And especially if you're the type that steps forward like Peter or Paul or whatever, and you're a leader in the faith, and the Holy Spirit's on you in abundance to the point people are being healed and all this. And so, yeah, you might even be a headliner, and so they're going to have you out there. That's what they call a headliner, you know, for lack of a better term, right? And so they're going to have you out there maybe by jury. So you're going to, there's a reason you're there, is my point. And just like the Lord said, you don't rehearse what you're going to say the day before. And I found that works so well, too. Like if there's been many times, many, many times, and there's going to be many, many times in my future, too, because there's sometimes I just don't want to make the phone call. I don't want to deal with this issue or deal with that issue. Or even, like if somebody's like our brother or sister in the faith, I kind of like to walk in cold, if you know what I mean, because I would rather let the Holy Spirit have complete control over the whole situation, because I know what if I'm one of those guys in the jail cell that steps up in front of the judge. I want to see his hand moving. So I've been seeing it for decades. We've all seen this. I know some of you have told me you've seen this. To where when you're sharing with somebody, the words come out of your mouth to where, like, where are those words coming from, you know? And that, there's a reason for that. And it's going to happen in a very amazing way when those of us that are part of the loud cry that end up behind bars. And so we're going to have to, or even not, because we're going to have to speak on the street, we're going to have to speak in a back alley, we're going to have to speak in wherever, you know, wherever, like in a hovel, in a cave, or even in the woods. Wherever the Lord would have us share, it's going to come out in ways that it's best not to, like, rehearse. Because that shows perfect faith, too, if you think about it. It's the same thing like Jesus saying, don't, like when you see the abomination of desolation surrounding the most, you know, the holy place. He was talking about Rome surrounding Jerusalem. He said, don't go back into the house, get your coat, don't go back and get supplies or whatever. In other words, show faith in me is what he's saying, and I will care for you. Well, it's the same thing. When you step up to try to help someone, let the Lord guide you. You know, if they want you to, like they call, like if a brother or a sister in the faith calls you and asks you about a certain Bible verse or something like that, okay, now you got a little bit of a jump start. You read the verse and say, oh, I know what that means, and so give the person a call. But even then, it's kind of nice not to know, you know. Just to watch the Holy Spirit move. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just the way I like to do it. But anyway, she says, the only record of the occasion is given in the words of Paul himself in the second letter to Timothy. And he said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. So, you know, yeah, that shows love. And that's why we pray for our enemies to this day. You know, because you really don't want them going through that. Because once, let's say they find Christ, then they're a loving brother or a loving sister in the Lord. Because what if you fell off the path and you started attacking us? We're going to pray for you, because what if you jump back on the path? And so if, like, what, like, in other words, pray for them because you would want them to pray for you. Like, if you were the one that fell off the path and started going after a fellow Christian. And so she says, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me, or Paul is saying, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And then she says, Paul before Nero. How striking the contrast. Amen to that. It's kind of like Cephas and Jesus in the same room, or Caiaphas, some people call him. I just look at the way the Romans say or spell things, like Caesar isn't Caesar. So anyway, Caiaphas and Jesus in the same room is just like a very striking contrast, because he's supposed to be representing Christ on earth, you know, the high priest. And then you have Christ on earth. And so the striking contrast is you got the perfect Jesus Christ and you got the perfect Antichrist, you know. And it's just, well, same here. You got Paul, an amazing Christian, and then Nero, an amazing hater of Christians. So how striking the contrast. And so the very height of earthly power, authority, and wealth, as well as the lowest depths of crime and iniquity, have been reached by the haughty monarch before whom the man of God answered for his faith. In his power and greatness, Nero stood unrivaled, unapproached, because they were scared of the guy. He was crazy. He was insane. And so it says, there was none to question his authority, none to resist his will. The kings of the earth laid their crowns at his feet. Now, does that sound familiar? I even got quotes on my Words of the Beast pages where the modern-day popes calling themselves Caesar. Literally. And I remember this one king, I can't remember, it was like a UK kind of a thing, one of the kings in that area, in back hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And and this was a literal show of political power. This shows how the power of pagan Rome was given to papal Rome, just like the prophecy said. And so the Pope had some issue with the guy, and then the guy lost political prowess, and so he had all these problems because he lost favoritism with the Pope, even though he didn't like him, and nobody else liked him either. Just like today, they don't like the Pope, but they have no choice. It's just like having, this is why they want Nancy Pelosi to stay in power. They don't like the woman, but they like her connections that she has. And so they can use her as a tool. Same thing with the Pope. But they don't realize the Pope's manipulating them too. And the Pope is the man of sin, the son of perdition. And so he is being manipulated by Satan. So they're fighting a losing battle here. There's just no way they can beat this guy. It's like the prophecy says, who can make war against him? Because he's got so many nations in his hip pocket that'll do anything he wants them to do, even obliterating a nation like he's having Russia do to the Ukraine, or trying to anyway. You remember when they started talking and invading? The Pope literally walked with his red little sandals all the way down to the Russian embassy in Italy and had some words with the... we just got a disconnection here. The stream just went belly up. Hold on. That doesn't... No, okay, it's coming back on its own. But yeah, the Pope went down, and I guess he gave... And I'm just, you know, guessing here, or discerning. I mean, just look at the facts. You know, that's the easiest thing to do here. I mean, if I see, that's one of the things, you know, I would love to be able to do, is like, and I would love to even do a podcast in this way where I could just sit there and say, this is what I know is happening. But in today's world, you got to prove it, which is fine, because you can, especially if you have people helping you prove it. See, I don't. I mean, I do have brothers and sisters that send me articles left and right, yeah. But if I was ever to, like, do a... And I think I think we could actually do this as a church family. We could literally start a podcast of some sort where we would do the research, we would do the legwork, we would do the investigative journalism and all this other stuff and put it out there. And I think that would be a good idea to do, in fact, to let the Lord know, yes, we will do this loud cry if you call us to do it, and we're even going to try to do it to the best of our ability, kind of a thing, if you know what I mean. And so, but yeah, that would be an amazing thing, that we could literally put our heads together and make a video. That too, yeah. like do the research on everything that we should say in a video to make this one particular point. How about that? We could do that. And so, but anyway, getting back to the kings of the earth, they laid their crowns at this feet. And so this king back hundreds of years ago, hundreds of years ago, we had a little, you know, headbutting going on with the Pope. So the Pope kind of like shut down everything on him and, you know, made things rough. And so he went to apologize to the Pope in winter and stood in the circle, you know, the Vatican, that pagan clock that they have, the square. They call it a square, but it's a circle. Yeah, it's all about confusion. It's just like in the Jesuit oath, not in the oath, but it is one of those lessons that they put forth that if I tell you the white wall that you're looking at is black, or no, I tell you that the black wall you're looking at is white, you have to believe it's white. That's how they teach. It's called brainwashing, for lack of a better term. Or not mesmerism, because you snap out of that. But anyway, but yeah, so this king, he goes into the, you know, like you would call it Times Square in the Vatican. And it's announced that he's out there waiting on the Pope. And so I think it was like the Pope made him stand out there for a week or something like that in the snow. And he did it. And that showed the Pope's power. He had that much power. They literally laid their crowns at his feet, like she's saying here. And so going on, it says, the most powerful armies marched at his command. The ensigns of his navies. Wow, that's how they spelled navies back then. So the ensigns of his navies upon the seas betokened victory. His statue was set up in the halls of justice, and the decrees of senators and the decisions of judges were but the echo of his will. Millions of subjects bowed to in obedience to his mandates. The name of Nero made the world tremble. To incur his displeasure was to lose property, liberty, and life. His frown was more to be dreaded than the pestilence. Yet, while surrounded by all the outward semblance of, you know, earthly pomp, she says, and greatness, adored and reverenced as a god in human form, he possessed the heart of a demon. Paul, the aged prisoner, without money, without friends, without counsel, had been brought forth from a loathsome dungeon to be tried for his life. And some of us will have to do this too, just like Paul. But what's more important? Giving the truth to these poor souls that need it? Because even Nero could have been converted, but, you know, I'm sure none of us can read hearts, so he could have very well been reprobate. Probably by the age of 30, thanks to his ma. But the thing is, we can't assume that it's a big old waste of time to even try to share Jesus with that person. Because I've seen the biggest burly guy come to tears and the smallest, weakest, frail little old lady come at me like a Doberman pincher. So you can't judge the book by its cover. She said he had lived a life of poverty, self-denial, and suffering, with a sensitive nature that thirsted for love and sympathy. He had braved misrepresentation. Sound familiar, doesn't it? They're actually there's people out there that for years have taken our videos and, mostly our audios, but then recently videos, and then taken the audio out of the video, because I don't go on camera. So it's easier for them to do that because then they don't have to worry about changing my lips and all this other stuff if I'm speaking, and they edit out some words that I said just to make it look like I'm not saying what I actually said. Yeah, that's misrepresentation. They're doing it now. There's website. Well, we all know about them. They're all out there. But that's fine. That just shows that we're doing something right. Actually, it really has nothing to do with us if you think about it, because to God be the glory. We share exactly what is written, and that is what upsets them. And so we must keep doing that. Not to upset them, no. That's just inevitable. But what I'm saying is we're doing it because it may help them. It may bring some of them to their knees, and some of them will definitely go to their knees and praise God. And so, with a sensitive nature that thirsted, you know, Paul had a sensitive nature that thirsted for love and sympathy. He had braved misrepresentation, reproach, hatred, and abuse, shrinking with nervous dread from pain and peril. He had fearlessly endured both. He had been, like his master, a homeless wanderer upon the earth. He had lived and suffered for the truth's sake, seeking to relieve the burdens of humanity and to exemplify in his life the life of Christ. In other words, he knew about the pilgrimage, because that's all that's all we're doing is we're on a pilgrimage. This isn't our permanent home. Or some people think, oh yeah, I put down roots. Call it what you want. It's even if you have live in the Taj Mahal. I mean, it doesn't matter if you have a mansion or a hut. This is a temporary residence we're at. 1,000 years from now, it'll be permanent. Yeah. You know, as well as any other planet we want to set up shop. But here, we will not only have a mansion in New Jerusalem, because it'll eventually be on this planet, which is in the center of the universe, which, by the way, they just recently found out about the planet Earth being in the center of the universe. But not only will we have the mansion in the city that was not made with human hands, we'll have a house that we built anywhere on this planet after the 1,000 years are over, right? When the Lord recreates things and all the wicked become fertilizer for our planet. And so we could build it anywhere. It's not that the planet would be bigger, but it would be 75% larger with landmass. And why I say that is because look in your Bibles. When he recreates this planet, there's not going to be an ocean anymore. That'll all be filled in with land. We'll have rivers, lakes, and streams. That's about it. No more ocean. No more need for an ocean. And so, yeah, it'll be like the planet tripled in size. So we'll be able to go anywhere we want and build a second home here and then make a couple thousand second homes up on the other worlds if we want. But this is... And that's not the reason we do what we do. It's just that Paul obviously understood the pilgrimage. He understood that this is temporary, where we're at. He knows, because even though he didn't physically see Jesus Christ, because the light that Jesus presented when he appeared to him, if you will, on the road to Damascus, it blinded him. It just blinded him. He was able to hear his voice, no problem. But the apostles, they saw him. You know, all 11 of them, and of course later on Matthias becoming 12 to take over where Judas left off. Well, Matthias didn't mess up like Judas, obviously, but the thing is, they saw Jesus after he was murdered and martyred. They saw him after he was killed. So they know, they had first-hand experience with the fact that, yeah, this really is a pilgrimage. We're stuck down here, just like he was explaining in the Lazarus, you know, the death of, you know, the rich man and Lazarus. We're stuck down here temporarily. But if we gain Christ as Savior, then we'll go anywhere in the universe for eternity. But the wicked are still stuck down here for eternity, because if you look at the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, yeah, Jesus said in the parable that there's a gap. And that gap, obviously, is at the end of the thousand. Well, it's now in their graves, obviously, but... At the end of the 1,000 years, they're going to be ashes for all eternity, according to Malachi, the prophet Malachi. And so, yeah, it'll be... So the point I was trying to make, obviously, was that Paul was clear on, he knew, even if he was to die, and he's going to, he knew that heaven was real. But the apostles... had first-hand experience. Paul didn't, although he did hear his voice, and so he had faith, he understood. And so going on, it says, how could the capricious, passionate, licentious tyrant, who had no conception of the value of a self-denying, virtuous, noble life, be expected to understand or appreciate the character and the motives of this Son of God? Paul and Nero, face-to-face. The youthful monarch, bearing upon his sin-stamped countenance the shameful record of the passions that reigned within, the aged prisoner's calm and benignant? Yeah, you know what I'm going to do? We're going to go to freedictionary.com here in a minute. I was going to say benign, but then I saw the ant at the end of it, so I've never seen this word in text before. So, benignant. Not found. Maybe I misspelled it. B-E-N. B-E-N-G-N. B-E-N-G-N-A-N-T. Again, not found. What am I doing wrong here? B-E-N-I. I forgot the I. There it is. How do you say it?
Benignant.
Okay, Bill, the speakers are weighed now. Let me try the other guy.
Benignant.
What does it mean? Favorable, beneficial, kind, and gracious. Okay, so benignant. So, backtracking a little bit, it says, the youthful monarch bearing upon his sin-stamped countenance the shameful record of the passions that reigned within. That's birds. Ignore it. the aged prisoner's calm and benignant face, telling of a heart at peace with God and man. In other words, he's standing in front of Nero and he's got no fear on his face. You know, he's not going to compromise his faith, because that's also going to be a major test for a lot of people, especially when they roll out the guillotines and make a big old to-do about it, right? That's why I made that one video about how fear will keep you out of heaven. And a lot of people misunderstood it, and so I more or less explained it in the video, and that's the reason for the video, is I'm not saying that if you're fearful in any way and still have Christ as Savior, you're never going to go to heaven. No. What I meant was if you're part of that number that ends up in jail and they just decide they're going to kill you like they've always done over the years. Like, I mean, look what they did with the Jews. They just have them stand in line and kill them, kind of a thing. And so let's just say they roll out the guillotine and you're the 20th person in line and you see out of the 20 people in front of you, three or four of them, you know, walked away from the guillotine and renounced their faith in Christ. Because everybody that's walking up to that guillotine refuse to keep Sunday holy and refuse to break the seventh-day Sabbath. Because it's not just they're not just going to say, you got to acknowledge Sunday as the Sabbath. They're going to demand you break the real Sabbath. You want proof? Look what they did to the Jews about 10 years ago. First, they asked them to keep Sunday holy, and they did. And that's why I made that one video. Now they got them by the foothold. Satan knows if they're going to bow here, they're going to bow later. And what, 10 years later? I think it was 2015, they made it law in Tel Aviv to break the Bible Sabbath. And they're breaking it. And so, yeah, the Christians are going to be standing in line, and a few of them are going to walk off because they ain't got the faith. They have fear of the guillotine. That's what keeps them out of heaven. Walking up to the guillotine, laying on it, let them chop your head off, it's scary, you got fear, but you're not going to go to hell. You got on the guillotine. The fear that keeps you out of heaven is the fear that made you turn around and walk away. Oh, no, I'm not going on that guillotine. You know? And, yeah, that's how you say it. That's French, guillotine. But you could say it guillotine. People do say guillotine, but I don't know. Just because it is spelled that way. So, anyway, she goes on to say that the results of opposite systems of training and education stood that day contrasted. Amen. Because you got Paul and you got Nero. She says, the life of unbounded self-indulgence, that was his mother's fault too, and the life of utter self-sacrifice. And by the way, Nero's going to die three times, and so will his mother. Because Nero and his mother was very hateful towards Christians, and she taught him to be hateful. And so she's going to get up again at Plague 7, or right before it, to see him coming on the clouds, like he said. And that's why they yelled blasphemy, and Caiaphas rips the robe, and all, you know, all the dramatics. So anyway, she goes on and she says, here were the representatives of two religions, Christianity and paganism. You know, when I look at because I was just talking to Fran about this the other day, when I look at the idiocy that's going on in politics, especially that which the Pope is getting involved in, and somebody just sent me an article the other day showing how they got proof now that the Vatican was involved in COVID-19 from the start, and I says, yeah, well, you see my video from about a year and a half ago? Yeah, we here in the SDR movement knew that then. But people are a little slow to learn, and it's fine, long as they find out, right? Because the man of sin will be revealed. Well, he has been revealed. We know who he is, but there's still people out there that don't. But this paganism thing, this always reminds me, whenever I see it, and I see these crazy things that you know, they're demanding in the... It's just like you're watching a movie that's, you know, 4,000 years old, and you're watching the people, like, and this is after Ruth leaves, and she becomes one with the obedient Jewish people, right? And you got the Moabites coming around, and, you know, sacrificing their kids to the fire and all this other stuff, because you got to kill the kids. They're not making them jump over. I always thought that they would jump over, because some of them did that too, but the kid was weak, he'd fall in. No, they literally would kill the kids, all of them, not give them a test. And so this is what they do today with the abortions and everything else. It's the same thing. They're just not calling themselves Moabites. It's Satan doing the exact same thing. Just, you know, hence the reason the United States of America became a superpower, even though it was prophesied. But that's because the Father saw the end from the beginning. And whoever would bow to Satan the most would gain the power the most. And so that's why D-Day was set up as it was. June 6th at 6 a.m. You got your 666 right there. And, but I don't want to get into that. I do have something on the site about that in a video, a couple of things I don't know. But just look it up about the bloodbath. It was a satanic blood sacrifice. The United States of America, the government of the United States of America back then, knew for a fact they were going to cause a bloodbath. They knew all these young boys were going to die. They just knew it. They did it as a sacrifice unto Satan. And people says, oh, you're just way off, you know, you're really making it, look, just get a drone. Well, you can't do it because I'll shoot it down in D.C. But there's pictures. Google Earth it, doesn't matter. Yeah, just go on Google Earth and look from above on Washington, D.C. Look at the shape of the roads. That's all I'm going to say. Just look at the shape of the roads. And then do the same thing over the Vatican. You know, first beast, second beast. The Vatican is first beast, USA second beast. There's a reason for everything. And so when you see the paganism and the Christianity, it always zaps me back. I always seem that I start looking at the Book of Ruth in my mind, right? It just amazes me how, and it calms my heart, because some people are getting all scared and freaked out because, you know, Christ is coming soon and it's going to get scary and hairy. And it's like, yeah, but the key is Christ is coming soon. Who cares how scary it's getting? Jesus is coming. We're going home soon. And it's like, that's so exciting. But at the same time, you look around and you say, they're acting just like they did in Ruth's day. They're acting just like they did in Esther's day. They're acting just like they did in Daniel's day or Shadrach's day or Meshach or Abednego's day. It's the same devil. It's, you know, and it's the same demons, because they're long livers. They, you know, we don't know how long they were living in heaven, how long the Lord decided, well, let's make some angels. You know, we don't know. We don't even know how long Adam and Eve were in the garden. We do know it had to be centuries that Cain killed Abel, because if it wasn't centuries, then how did Cain find a city to escape to after he killed his brother? Because of all the children were born and they had to, you know, move out and build cities and stuff, right? So we know that part, but the fact of the matter is it's just all a big repeat, because Satan is just... he's fine-tuning his attack. He's been doing the same thing over and over again just to make sure that everything, you know, works exactly as it does. And people, and this is what gets me, you know, when I look at the politics of it, because I look at, like, say, the Vatican Trinity. That took me years to figure out, why are they so much pushing this Trinity thing? I says, why is this so important? Until all of a sudden people start coming up saying, Jesus isn't God. Holy Spirit doesn't exist. I said, oh, man, that's why they invented the Trinity. That way they can get people to downgrade the Godhead and then change it and make it look like, oh, this is not Trinity. We're saying there's only one God. Well, that's what the Trinity says. But, you know, just like stuff like that. And then when you look at these politics, or look at the pandemic, or you look at the way they do, what was that other thing I was looking at the other day? Oh, man. It just seems like so goofy. I mean, how... are you going to get to this point in your agenda by doing that silly political event? But there's a reason for it. Satan's behind it. He's super genius, right? He's an angel. He's fallen, but he's still an angel. And so he knows what he's doing. He's setting the stage. It's just like with, you know, like right now, they're all going, oh, man, the cops, they couldn't. They're making the cops look even worse now because of what happened at Uvalde. Because they didn't get there in time, or they didn't go in time. They all ignored the last 2 years of defund the police thing. They all forget about all that. The cops don't have the means right now to be able to react in the ways they used to. Oh, no, they forget all about that stuff because they built their agenda. In other words, people are going, why are they doing this? Where's this gonna? We all know it's leading to chaos because there's order out of chaos. and you have to have the chaos in order to bring in a hero. You know, remember how we were saying for decades, just watch the U.S. presidents, how they're going to get worse and worse and worse, and all of a sudden, a people's president's going to show up. And that was Trump. And so they're going to do it again. Whether it's going to be with Trump or DeSantis or whoever, it doesn't matter. There's going to be, because they're making it so bad right now, they're making socialism look so good. Because it's getting so, because capitalism is so evil now. And some of the crazy things they're doing, but there's a reason for it all. The confusion is there. Somebody, there was a video I saw about a year or so ago, where they were talking about how Hitler did this, and a couple other people, the Chinese guy, Powell, or I can't remember that guy's name. But they set things up. What's happening now is exactly how they were actually doing it back then, to move people towards socialism, to be able to take, because Hitler did the exact same thing that, the way Hitler came to power is the exact same way they're going to do it in the coming days with an inkling of that is Trump, but there's going to be somebody, obviously, much more powerful, if you will, in the coming days. So going on, it says, here were the representatives of two religions, Christianity and paganism, the representatives of two theories of life, the simplicity of self-denying endurance, ready to give up life itself, if need be, for the good of others, and the luxury of all-absorbing selfishness that counts nothing too valuable to sacrifice for a momentary gratification, the representatives of two spiritual powers, the ambassador of Christ and the slave of Satan. Oh, boy, that's perfect, the way she put that. Their, she says, their relative position showed to what extent the course of this world was under the rule of the Prince of Darkness. The wretch whose soul was stained with incest and matricide was robed in purple and seated upon the throne, while the purest and noblest of men stood before the judgment seat, despised, hated, and fettered. The vast hall, let me see how much further this is going. Yeah, we're going to be in here a while, praise God. She's got some in detail information for us. So the vast hall, which was the place of trial, was thronged by an eager, restless crowd that surged and pressed to the front to see and hear all that should take place. You know, it's just like Gaper's Block on a highway. That's, when I think about stuff like that, it's, you know, the way the people are moved, and we all do it. You really don't have any choice with the Gaper's Block because you're in line because the guy, because there's a big old bad accident on the side of the road, so somebody slows down just so they might be able to see somebody bleeding to death or something. It's just ridiculous. You pull over and help the guy. But in today's world, no. And so she says, the restless crowd surged and pressed to the front to see and hear all that should take place. Among those gathered, there were the high and the low, the rich and the poor, the learned and the ignorant, the proud and the humble. Yet all alike were destitute of the true knowledge of a way, of the way of life and salvation. It's going to be the same for us. Hence the reason we got to be in there. They're going to want to hear what we have to say because maybe the word got out. Hey, this guy or this girl the other day was praying and something amazing happened to this one person. Or this person shared something and 5,000 people got baptized. Or this, you know, in other words, they're going to want to hear what they're going to want to be in that courtroom. And that's when the Lord's going to take over in your tongue, and you're going to declare things that is going to cut hearts. It's just like Huss singing hymns as he's burning to death in front of all those people. That moves people. That's one of the reasons the Vatican went into the dungeons to kill. Because they thought, because they just want to get rid of these, you know, what they would call naysayers, but people that were sharing the truth. But they knew if they killed them in the town like they used to, like in the village town square or something like that, it was causing more people to become Christians because they're going, you know, I want to meet that man's Jesus because someone to be able to sing hymns while he's burning alive, that's a faith I want to, because there's a lot of people that are looking and searching. That's what Rome seems to forget. Satan ain't forgetting about that, though. This is why he does the things he does. So let's see if she's changing topics here anytime soon. Okay, we'll stop on page 314. I just saw a change. Okay, so, again, the Jews urge against the prisoner the old charges of sedition and heresy. while both Jews and Romans accuse him of instigating the burning of the city. In other words, he was the leader that caused him. It's just like what Hitler did with Reichstag. And this is why I said earlier, Satan keeps doing the same thing over and over and over. Hitler burned down Reichstag, and he blamed all the Jews. So now he had a reason to attack them, even though they didn't do it. Well, he did the same thing. Nero burned down, what, was like a third of the city and blamed the Christians. And so while his enemies were vehemently urging their accusations, Paul preserved a quiet dignity, no shade of fear or anger disturbed the peaceful serenity that rested upon his countenance. The people and even the judges beheld him with surprise. Amen. Like the people standing around Huss when he was singing, remember? We're not going to have fear. See, this is one of the things a lot of people forget. You know, the people, there's going to be a lot of fear. I mean, the prophecy is clear. Men's hearts failing them for fear for those things that are coming down the world, right? We all know that's happening now. People are standing in line to get mRNA, you know, get gene therapy, thinking it's a vaccine. They're so scared. But are you scared? No. The people that are scared are the ones that don't have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you don't have him as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit's not in you, blessing you with the courage to stand firm in Christ. That's why Paul's standing the way he's standing. So she says, they had been present at many trials and had looked upon many a criminal, but never had they seen a man wear such a look of holy calmness as did the prisoner before them. The keen eyes of the judges, accustomed as they were to read the countenances of their prisoners, search, you know, never mind. You can read people. I mean, you can read people with body language. I learned that early on. But that was just part of a lesson I was taught from my dad in regards to sales. But still, I was never good at sales, other than the sales that he was involved in. I hated sales. Unless it was a controlled environment, you know, like with my dad's office. So anyway, the keen eyes of the judges, accustomed as they were to read the countenances of their prisoners, searched the face of Paul for some hidden trace of crime, but in vain. When he was permitted to speak in his own behalf, all listened with eager interest to his words. Once more, Paul had an opportunity to raise aloft before a wondering multitude the banner of the cross of Christ. Oh, man, what an opportunity is that? And so she says, with more than human eloquence and power, he that day urged home upon the hearts the truths of the gospel. The wisdom of God was revealed through his servant. Okay, so next week we'll pick it up here at page 314, because now she's going to go into detail as to how this is all going down when he's speaking, I'm assuming. So let me mark this here, page 314. Oops, man, I tell you, the mouse. I go back to that little, touchpad thing. Okay, as Paul stands before the emperor, that's where I'll pick it up next week. And if you can, please kneel. We're going to pray.